The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
This morning we're going to be blessed with hearing a message from Graham Circum, who was the instigator, the founder of Community Chaplaincy through Lifebridge Community Chaplaincy. And Graham's no stranger to us here at Rangeville. In fact, I just want to take a moment and read a page from this book, Rangeville, A Light Upon the Mountain, which actually describes a really significant role that Graham had in the life of our church. And so, would you just listen to this beautiful story? One of the key turning points for Rangeville Church occurred in April 2000. Reverend Graham Circum from Brisbane was the ministry leader at Rangeville Family Camp at Mount Tambourine. He had a prophecy that Isaiah 55 was a part of the Bible that had particular relevance for Rangeville. But those at the camp struggled to find the relevance of such verses at that time. Only now, with the knowledge of later events, do these verses have particular meaning. These verses were, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. It is the same with my word. I send it out, it always produces fruit. It accomplishes all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. You will live in joy and peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Where once there were thorns, cypress trees will grow. Where nettles grew, myrtles will sprout up. These events will bring great honour to the Lord's name. They'll be an everlasting sign of his power and love." So that was the passage. And then this goes on and says, "The leaders and people of Rangeville in 2002 could have no idea of what God had in store for them in the coming years. The prophecies to Rangeville would produce fruit in due season. At the time of Graham's reference to Isaiah 55 in April 2000, there was a parcel of land on the corner of Mackenzie and Stennis Streets, Rangeville. In the year 2000, nettles and scrub grew on the Mackenzie Street land, but by March 2011, they would be replaced by the new Rangeville Church. The main room of the temple in the time of Solomon was lined with cypress and myrtles in the book of Zechariah, symbolised Jerusalem, which Jesus, the man standing among the trees, will protect and restore. Before the above could occur, however, the leaders and people of Rangeville had to step out in faith. At the Sunday morning service during the Mount Tambourine camp, Graham Circum said that he felt the church was wading in the shallows and challenged the people to move out into the deep. He then asked Herman and the elders present to come out in front of the congregation and state what they would do. Herman, the elders, and the people present agreed to move out into the deep, and Graham Wildermuth, a long-serving elder of Rangeville Church, felt it was a very significant time of decision. What moving out into the deep entailed was not clear at the time. That was a matter of faith, only to be partially revealed a little over 6 months later, when a challenge was issued to the elders to find land upon which to expand ministry. It was well that no one questioned at that time how deep, or knew how much faith would be required. Simple obedience was all that was needed. And so, Graham, as you come this morning to bring the message, you do so as someone who's spoken richly into the life of this church and been a rich blessing to us, and I know that you'll bless us with your words this morning. Would you please welcome Graham as he comes and shares today? And that copy of the book is for you.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Andrew. Am I switched on? That's a big question. Am I switched on? So lovely to be here today. I do remember that weekend over 20 years ago, and I do want to honour Herman and Val. I understand they're here somewhere, but hey, wherever you are, Herman and Val, bless you. I first went to Mount Isa, I think it was, Herman, to be with you there at the Uniting Church, then Tingalpa, and then Toowoomba here. So praise the Lord for his goodness. Hey, you guys have been on an extraordinary faith journey. Today, I guess it's a little bit like going to the doctor in some ways to process how you are in your journey with the Lord, and especially in regards to connecting into the community. It's a joy to have a daughter who's so on fire for the Lord, like Jenny. She's our daughter and son-in-law, Andrew. And we have seven adult children, and we've just had our 24th grandchild. So there you are. The Bible says, go forth and multiply, and that's exactly what we are doing. Hey, so praise the Lord. It certainly improved our prayer life, I tell you now. But what a joy it is to have our names in the book. Hey, remember when Jesus came back with the 70 and they'd done so much good things and the kingdom of God had been manifest and they were amazed, and Jesus said, don't just rejoice that demons are subject to you in my name, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And that's what I celebrate this morning, by God's grace. Yeah. A businessman who was incredibly gifted at what he did and built up a very large corporation in the United States of America retired, and he was looking forward to his retirement years, but many other corporation leaders were coming to talk to him and ask him for their advice. So he decided to go out into a consultancy business, and the first question he would ask the people or the leaders was, what is your business? What is it that you're doing? And the second question was, how is it going? I guess it's a good question, isn't it? What's the business of the church? What are we called to do? And how are we doing? Are we becoming effective in what we're doing? I love your mission statement as a community, which says bringing love, healing and freedom to the community through Jesus Christ. That's the heartbeat. I can sense it. And thanks, Andrew, for allowing us to come and be here today as well. And your elders. We love God's people everywhere. I'm actually the community pastor at Wyndham Baptist, which is the picture right in the center of the slide there. So we've loved serving the church over many years as an itinerant as well. The yellow circles on the diagram are kind of the lights in the community. Places where you are, your neighborhood. You are your brother's keeper. You are responsible for your street, in a sense. It's a joy to see Jesus at work in the street, don't you agree? Just being sensitive to go to someone. I went to my neighbor who's got a very bad ankle. I saw him and he was in a lot of pain. He's only a young bloke, but it really troubled me about his ankle. So, yes, I think it was yesterday or the day before, cars drove in at the same time. And so I went up to Kevin and I said, Kev, I can't get you out of my mind. He knows that I'm a Jesus follower. And I said, would you mind if I just say a prayer for your ankle? It's been so, looks so sore and swollen. And so just to pray for him. And we asked for a miracle that by tonight, anyway, that his ankle would be healed. That was a step of faith, just moving out, just being available. But you're on the page, you're on the slide, you're, I wonder how your light is. How's the circle? So are you doing all right? Is the light shining? Is it having some impact? Today we're going to really look at the inside out and the outside in. It's us, you know, we gather for worship and then we scatter for witness. Sunday is all about Monday. Isn't it good to come to church today? Did you enjoy the worship? I was so blessed. Done it twice now. Got a double blessing. So keep coming back, hey. But we are called to go. And Monday is where we will go and share the light or shine the light. Better turn the thing on, hey. Yeah, so in 2016 I had a thought or an insight, a vision, if you like, of how we could help the church get out after 35 years of itinerating with many, many churches and seeing the struggle just to get out of the building, you know, and to shine the light out where the real need is, you know, to move from Sunday to Monday. And I wrote it down on an A4 sheet of paper, this concept of chaplains being in a shopping center.
And I presented it to the pastoral team and they said, Graham, you've got to do this. I said, oh, it's one thing to have a baby, it's another thing to look after it. And we've done that 7 times. I'm not sure if I want to do it anymore. Not really. But, and so anyway, we went on and developed it over 18 months and launched in 2018 in Wynnum Plaza. God opened this amazing door. I didn't know how it was going to happen. I was quite nervous about it all. And right outside the plaza at Wynnum, there are these shops on the outside. And so I went to Supercheap, spoke to the managers there, and went on to the other stores. Got to Fitness First, and there was a Catholic lady who was the manager there. She heard what I was saying, and I said, what do you think, Marcio? She said, I reckon this is great, and you need to go and talk to the managers right now. She said, why don't you go? And I said, well, I don't want to hear a no, that's why. And she said, just go. So I obeyed and I went and spoke to Shannon, who became a very good friend. And he helped us develop a model that would work in shopping centres. So in October 2018, nervously, Andrea and I and a few other, another four chaplains embarked on this journey of presenting Jesus to this broken world. We've got nothing to sell. We've just got a life to live. I have never been so profoundly impacted by the power of presence. We've given away 22,000 balloons over the last 4.5 years. Don't tell the environmentalists. We actually brought, you know, these, what do you call them, biodegradable ones, you know. But a little children. And we just stand and, you know, got a table like this. It's up 24/7 now with a hope line on it. And you've got that little grab of 5 to 10 seconds. G'day, how are you? You doing all right? I don't know how many times we would say that in every 3-hour session. G'day, you all right? Is everything going all right? Beautiful little baby there. Tell me about your little baby. And people are amazed that we would even show them any interest, like Jenny said. It's just being present. It's not complicated. It's being radiant, filled up with all the fullness of God, changed from glory to glory. You know, we are very broken. I'm a broken bloke, and I know the Lord Jesus is doing that miracle in me. But we sing the song, break my heart with what breaks yours. We live in a very broken world. So many wounded people. There's so many come and they just cry at the table. Elderly people, I'm just on this whole cash business at Capella Bar. We serve at Capella Bar there, and it's remarkable how they will come and say, you know, we can't get cash out, we can't put cash in because we're moving towards a cashless society, and it's just they come and tell us all their problems, and we kind of feel that the, you know, like Matthew 24, these are the signs of the times that Jesus is going to return. Can I hear an amen on that one? That's a wonderful, wonderful thought. Do this until I come. We just heard. 4 centres now. I wonder what the Lord will do. Capella Bar Central, Wynnum Plaza, Cleveland Plaza, and now, is it called the Range? Rangeville? What's it called? Plaza? Okay, all right, got that wrong. Cross that out. I got a photo. Is the photo right? Wonderful. Google did the right thing for me. But praise the Lord, we believe that there are many more centres. We've had inquiries from Canberra. Even right here, there's been an impact up to Kingaroy. From here, you guys have had an impact. And there's a bit of a buzz around Toowoomba about starting in other centres. Just to, we call it intentionally lingering. It's not a very nice word, linger, is it? But it's just being there and completely available, serving the Lord. It's a joy. You say, you know, Graham, I just admire what Jenny and Ian are doing. This is amazing that they would put themselves in public. I tell you, we thrive up there. Our hearts are pounding. And Andrea and I, my wife and I, we've got 15 chaplains now that have stepped up. Just to go in public space, to be the hands and feet and face, the lips of Jesus. What an honour. To have the chaplains, so the managers invite us to join in that space, we are amazed. But you say, you know, I struggle with all this stuff, Graham. There are really six major struggles with regard to getting out. The one is isolation. We don't have any real contact with those who are lost and are on the highway to hell, and that's the reality. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, you need to get connected. You need to come to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to forgive me of all my sin. And you'll receive the gift of eternal life, but if you don't, it's a Christless eternity awaits for you. Don't do that. Come to Christ. Isolation. We don't have any real non-Christian friends. That's a big barrier. So get out. It's good to get out where the people are. Number two, intimidation, a bit of a struggle with fear, you know, and we all face fear. The fear of man brings a snare, but the Bible says 350 times, fear not. Don't worry. You've got a wonderful Savior. You can just go and shine and be available to Him. Indifference, you know, that sense of I don't have the burden, Graham. I'm not really sure if that's me, you know, but we're all called to be witnesses. We acknowledge the gift of the evangelist, but we're all witnesses. And the Lord Jesus said, I will give you power just to talk about me. Indifference. Ignorance, I just don't know how to do it, is another possibility. Do the course with Jenny and Ian. That will help you. It's for everyone. It's not just for chaplains. It's a brilliant online course written and put together by a good friend of mine. Insensitivity. You just miss the moments on the days, just opportunities just to speak into people's lives. Inadequacy. The early church struggled with inadequacy. They locked themselves in the upper room. Jesus came and walked through the walls and said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Get out of the room. Come on, get out of the building. You know, Sunday is all about Monday. Go and shine and bring the good news. But they needed power. The anointing of the Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost gave them capacity. You will be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The three great prepositions of the Holy Spirit with, Holy Spirit in, that moment of conversion. But the third is critical, the upon. I need the upon. And Jesus came and rested on 120. It's a great story of life change. And they became a vibrant community of faith. We're going to drop into a little bit of the Beatitudes, which was the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And it goes from chapter 5 of Matthew 6 and 7. But this, in a sense, gives the foundation for us to be a vibrant witness for Jesus in public space or wherever we are. Just shining for Him, allowing Him to transform us. So let me read the text before us today. I'm going to try and scoot through this and call you, I guess, call us all just to be available to shine for Him. Now, when He saw the crowds, that's interesting, isn't it? When He saw the people, sometimes we see but we don't see, but He saw the crowds. He went up onto the mountainside and sat down. And His disciples came to Him, and He began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they who persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the salt of the earth. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven. I want you to notice that the key beginning and end was about the kingdom of heaven. That's a very critical thing because it's about a kingdom lifestyle. Now, I never really understood the kingdom of God until I was 21. You know, I was gave my life to the Lord when I was a small child, actually. I was baptized in water when I was 13. But throughout my teen years, I really struggled in my life. I said, Lord Jesus, what's wrong with me? My 20th year, I began to read through the Acts of the Apostles. And as I read, I said, Lord, I just don't want to read about history. I'd love to be part of it. I'd love to make history. And one night in 1973, 50 years ago, God really touched me. I'd seen a guy just witness for the Lord in a public space, and I was overwhelmed by how it happened, and I chatted with him on a Sunday. I said, how did you do that? How did you just talk so naturally about Jesus to that fellow? And he said, what do you know about the Holy Spirit, Graham? I said, I've just been through the Acts of the Apostles and underlined, in fact, colored in purple everywhere where the Holy Spirit moved. And so that was the end of the conversation. That was on a Sunday, but the following Tuesday night at Bible study, what do you think the topic might have been? It was the Holy Spirit. And during that Bible study, I was very aware of that God was speaking to me. And so at the end, I went very, very quiet in the room. It was about 30 young adults in the room. And I sensed the Lord really speaking to me. I said, Lord, what's wrong with me? Why can't I just be a witness? Why can't I just be victorious? What's wrong with me? And this is what I heard. Graham, I cannot use you because I don't own you. You haven't relinquished your ownership. You're treating me like a convenience. You haven't let me become your king. You know me as your savior, but you haven't yet relinquished your right and let me be your king. Well, that night I got on my knees. It was very hard to give up control. But to be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by the Spirit. And so I just I surrendered and I said, Lord, come. And I said, what do I say? So just invite me to come and fill you. And so just there I was, just a 21-year-old, just, you know, really toughing it out prior to that and saying, Holy Spirit, just come. And the little dove is on the right-hand side or the left-hand side of the diagram, because when you die, Jesus begins to live. That's the great paradox of the gospel. And after that moment when I walked out through that screen door, you know, the old ones used to bang, you know, without, it still echoes in my head. And I went to the streets because I didn't have any rights anymore. And the Lord said, I want you to go to talk to that person. I just had to do what I was told because I was no longer the boss. He was my king. And so I just went and nervously said, excuse me, my name is Graham, but how are you? Do you know Jesus? And that was the great Jesus revolution of the 1970s. And I started to see stuff happen. I saw a young fella become a Christian in the aeroplane that I was working on. I was trying to tighten a bolt on the fuel selector of a Cessna 206 because I was an engineer and I couldn't get it in. I had a young bloke working with me to my one side. I said, well, mate, I've been working on this for 20 minutes. I think I'm going to say a prayer. He said, good idea. I said a prayer and the bolt went straight in. His eyes went, whoa. I said, would you like to experience Jesus as well? He might nip you up too. And he gave his life to Christ whilst he was in the aeroplane. It was all amazing. Just following. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, and started to understand that King Jesus was now on the throne in my heart. I just needed to obey what he said and what he did, and I'd join in with him. That's the kingdom.
We prayed before, let your kingdom come. Lord Jesus Christ, reign in me, that beautiful song. Lead me, Lord, I want to do your will every day. I'm not quite sure what this is going to look like, but dear Lord, help me. And as Jesus began his journey of ministry, he saw the big crowds. He said, I just want to lay it on the line about what does it mean to be a Jesus follower? What does this person look like? At the very core of it is the kingdom of God. It became the great theme of Jesus. Even when he launched, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I don't know if you know Jesus is your king or is he your convenience. I'm going to invite you this morning just to yield everything. You say, Brother Graham, I'm a little bit older than you. You know, I think I'm in retirement. And there's no retirement in the kingdom, folks. You're going to go to the end, aren't you? Going to cut the tape? Can I hear an amen? A whole bunch of retirees, I'm in that category as well. Sometimes I feel it too. And so my son Andrew says, Dad, you're starting this new ministry. This is for a 40-year-old. Oh dear, it makes me tired thinking about it. But anyway, that's the way it is. You say, well, what does a kingdom person look like, Graham? But Jesus launched it, saw the crowds. He said, just want to call out what this looks like. Number one, for you to enter into the kingdom of God and to be a kingdom living person, you need to be confronted with your own brokenness, your own poverty of spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the, altogether, kingdom of heaven. It all begins with bankruptcy. We become acutely aware, like the prodigal son who's absolutely bankrupt in the pig pen. That's where we land. That's where I landed in 1973. I was bankrupt. I had nothing. Trying to live the Christian life without Christ. Who's your king, Graham? Will you let me be your king? Like we used to sing that old hymn. Sorry, I'm a bit vintage. King of my life, I crown thee now. Remember? Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget your thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Die. It's where you die. When I died, I began to live. But I'm acutely aware that I'm constantly bankrupt. I just don't have it. And I thank God for his amazing grace, as it says here. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. When we get to that place that we meet, Jenny and Ian meet, and you meet in your neighborhood and places where you go, because that little red yellow dot is shining out there. Come on, Rangeville Community Church, we've got a job to do. We cannot just come on Sundays and do nothing through the rest of the week, can we? So we bring the good news to those who are poor in spirit. And blessed are those who mourn. That creates a response of godly sorrow. The Bible says godly sorrow leads us to repentance, and we feel incredibly broken before a holy God. And I pray that we will see more of that, more tears of brokenness and godly sorrow over sin. We've had so much just recently with broken people. But they come. I've got one young mum, Andrea, and my wife, and I've been working with this young mum who's been to jail and so much brokenness, but she's become a Christian. She's given her life to Jesus, and she's a red-hot evangelist. She's hooking them all in. Just had another one of her good friends, Bernadette, just give her life to Christ last Tuesday, a week ago, all through Rachel. Just like the woman at the well. So broken. And Jesus talked with her and introduced her to the kingdom of God. I who speak to you am he. And she became a radical Jesus follower, ran into Sychar, the whole of the town. One of the great revivals of New Testament happened right in the Samaritan town through a lady who was a prostitute, had five husbands and living with a guy at that time.
Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. This is like a cycle. This is like a corkscrew. We just keep going through the cycle over and over, creating kingdom character, stepping from one to the other, bankruptcy, poor in spirit, mourning, tears, and brokenness, our own sense of who we are. Meekness is a powerful point, I think, of conversion, because meekness is not weakness. It's actually the best way to understand meekness, because it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It's like a horse, a brumby that's never been broken in. But when a brumby becomes meek, it comes under authority. It's broken in. It's got a bridle in its mouth. You can put a saddle on its back, and it becomes a useful instrument. It's become meek. It's power under authority. That's surrender. That's a big one, isn't it? So when the Lord spoke to me in 73, I can't use you because I don't own you, Graham. Let me be your king. Come under authority and we will have a good time. You'll see miracles. The very things that you've read about in the Acts of the Apostles. You say, Graham, well, I might be there right now. You know, I'm a bit of a 50%er. You know, I've given 50%, but I'm a bit scared about the other. Sorry. Kingdom of God requires us to surrender. Let him take your life as it is. And let him reign in and through you. Bridle you so that he will direct you and tell you where to go and what to do. Many of you have just done that for many years, which is a blessing. And out of that comes this sense of growing hunger when there's real surrender, when there's real meekness, when we come under authority like that brumby and we're bridled and Jesus can take us and use us and lead us. Then he can creates in us a hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's just a growing hunger. How do I live right in a wrong world? The Lord Jesus himself was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. And at his baptism, the Holy Spirit rested on him. So with, in, and upon. Even for Jesus, he needed the upon, the anointing, the grace of God to be able to do what he's called us to do. And I think maybe point number four, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled, anointed with his grace. Well, they're kind of the vertical ones, and we move into the horizontal ones as Jesus was speaking to this group of people on the side of a mountain, beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, launching out what does it mean to live in the kingdom. Then he goes on to say, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. They'll receive mercy. So once we receive this amazing gift from God and the grace of God, and we can see that it's transforming our lives and we've got this hunger and growing desire for more of him, then we reach out. Someone has described evangelism as one beggar telling another beggar where to get some bread. So we just go and say, listen, I've received mercy. You can receive mercy. Mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. So we go with the mercy of God and we spread it and share it. We don't judge people for their brokenness because we are equally broken. Merciful. 6. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And the advent of God using us to bring mercy to people, to shine for him in public spaces and leading people into the place, to the cross where they can find forgiveness. We have a pure heart and say, it's nothing to do with me. I just am the instrument in his hands. He will take me and use me. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. This is kingdom living. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. What Andrew read this morning for communion is that we've been called and given this ministry of reconciliation. Father like son. Being a peacemaker is doing exactly what the Father does. It's our ministry of reconciliation. Ambassadors for Christ. Sharing the good news about how people can be reconciled to the Father through the Lord Jesus. All this is from God, who reconciles us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And finally, persecution. It's inevitable. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. It is tough sometimes, isn't it? You just get pushed back and a bit of rejection. I remember in my industry, the aircraft industry, I was kind of, our company was putting the engineers in different teams. We were called into this room where all the engineers were to put us in teams, and this bloke stood up and he said, well, he said, I just want to say, you know, I'm glad to be here and serve any, but I don't want to be with Graham Circum. He's a religious fanatic. And I'm a young bloke. I'm in the room. Very humiliating. I sat very quiet, sort of shrunk down a bit as they're all kind of looking at me, a few sniggers around. And I said, oh, in my heart, Lord Jesus, it just seems to be the way it is, isn't it? But you know, after that event, that guy who made that accusation, when I resigned from the company to go to Bible college, he came down to the hangar and said, Graham, I heard you've resigned from the company. Would you come and work for me? I said, Owen, are you sure? This is me, Graham. He said, yeah, I know. I want you to come and work for me. I said, I'm going to go to Bible college. And he sort of rolled his eyes and said, oh, I thought so. Oh, I think of John Wesley, you know, that great preacher guy in the 1750s, how he was just persecuted so much, but 100,000 miles on the horse and so on, and the horse seemed to be as in tune to the Holy Spirit as what John was. He just seemed to know where to go, but on one occasion John realized he'd not been persecuted that day, and he thought he'd backslidden. So he got off his horse and he's on his knees praying, Lord Jesus, is everything all right? I haven't copped anything. And it was a drunk bloke behind the hedge, heard him pray. And he picked up a rock and threw it at John Wesley. And John said, thank you, Lord, you've heard my prayer. Now, it's a bit lighthearted, but it's not nice when you go through it, is it? Some of you have had it in your family. But these eight character traits are incredibly persuasive because they shape us to become just like Jesus. Incredibly persuasive. There are not many exhortations in the New Testament to do evangelism. Not many. It comes out of who you are. It comes out of the fact that now you've been transformed by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords presides over you, just do what he says and go where he goes and so on, say what he says. Out of that you become incredibly salty. You are the salt of the earth, it's the metaphor. Maintain that integrity, don't shift from who you are and what you believe. Sprinkle the salt. A little bit of salt can make a huge difference to any community. No compromise. Hold the line. In a world that is filled with compromise, where we're being pressured unbelievably in the whole realm of sexuality, in redesigning or rethinking the design, the beautiful design of God with the human body. But we're being pressured. As our church, we are being pressured. And you are. But we're the salt of the earth. Hey. We've got our King who defines who we are. We need to do that well. And sprinkle the salt. It's incredibly potent being present. Having that persuasive Christian character. Stepping through, corkscrewing those eight steps over and over again, becoming conformed and transformed into the likeness of Jesus, being broken many, many times, surrendering to him. And maybe this morning is a new step for you, the potency of salt.
but also the power of light, just you shining. Remember, we used to sing that little song, "You in Your Small Corner and I in Mine." Remember, "This is the light of mine." Does that ring a bell? You know, remember that one? "This is the light of mine." If I had a guitar, I'd sing it, but it would empty the room real quick. "This is the light of mine." Jenny's knows all about me and my guitar. They say to me, they say, "Johnny Cash has gone to heaven, Graham. Come on, give us a break." So, "This is the light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." That's what these guys are doing. That's what you're called to do. You know, I was at Capella by the other day. There's no attributes to me, but this bloke, I smiled at him and said, "You doing all right, mate?" He said, "What are you on?" He said, "That smile you've got. You know, isn't it? The denture, nice set of dentures. Nice smile, Graham, hey. Where's it come from?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, there's something about you." I said, "I think it comes from the inside." He said, what do you mean? I said, "Well, I asked Jesus to come into my life. He's made all the difference to me. He can do that for you." What a joy to shine. It's very personal. You are, you are, you are, you are the light of the world. God hasn't, he's not going to send an angel. He might, but you're it. It's very public. It's not just done on Sundays. It's Monday. At your office, at school, at your workplace, to shine. Just bring your word in season. People are hungry. They're looking for answers. It's very practical. Might be able to mow a lawn, wash a car, bake a cake. They're your good deeds. Something powerful. And Australians respond to that sort of stuff. And they give glory as you introduce them. And say, "Do you know why I did that? Because I really care about you." Now, I had one of my neighbours, I'm not sure if I shared. Forgive me if I'm double sharing here. But I had my, did I talk about my neighbour at all? Just anyway, I'll share it. Kevin was one of my neighbours. I went for a walk around the block and I walked by him. I'm just getting to know him. He's into very much into Eastern stuff, religion. How are we going on time? But he's got a very, very sore foot, a right foot. And he talked about his foot and how painful it was. He's about 38 years of age, I guess. And overnight, I'm just thinking about Kevin. I thought, I want the opportunity. So I drove in yesterday, I think it was, or the day before yesterday, I think it was. And there's Kevin just arriving at the same time. I said, "Oh, Kevin," I said, "I've been thinking a lot about you since yesterday. And I just wonder if you'd let me pray for you. I'd really like to ask God just to touch you and touch your ankle." And so, right there in his driveway, we prayed. He said, "Whoa," he said, "I felt some energy." And I said, "That might be Jesus, mate. It's not, that's it." I said, "But we're going to pray for a miracle that by Sunday night, your ankle will be healed." That was a big step of faith, hey? It's good deeds. Let me just finish up. I don't know how you are this morning. Is your life persuasive to others? How's the kingdom? Are you in the kingdom? Is there anyone not in the kingdom here this morning? Is there anyone who's never yet come to a place where they're absolutely bankrupt? Or you might have come this morning and you've kind of been quietly crying or mourning your own brokenness. And you're ready to become a meek person. You'll inherit the earth, become a very trusted person. Is there persuasiveness about you that people look and see that you're different? I'm going to ask you to rededicate your life to that persuasive walk with Jesus. Say, what about the saltiness? Is there, am I potent? Have I lost my potency? Am I powerful? Is my light shining? It was a guy called Arthur Stace. You know, you've heard about Arthur Stace. Have you all heard about Arthur Stace that converted alcoholic in 1936? He went to a meeting and gave his life to Jesus and then later heard a guy called John G. Ridley speak on eternity, eternity, eternity. And this is an illiterate guy who just stumbled through life and really made a mess of everything. And he's in the church and he's thinking he's found a piece of chalk. And he said, "I think I can write that on the pavement. So he went out of the church and wrote Eternity in perfect copper, what do you call it, coppersmith? Is that what you call it? Beautiful copper plate word just on the pavement. And people said, that looks terrific, Arthur. He went on to write that 500,000 times over 30 years. Persuasive. Potent. Powerful. Almost got arrested 30 times. Stop doing it. It offends people. He said, I've got the message from a higher authority. Celebrated in the year 2000 on the bridge in Sydney, Sydney Harbour Bridge. How's it all going? How are you? You're it. Persuasive, potent, powerful. Would you surrender afresh this morning? Love your church, hey? Love what God's doing here. More yet. Is that right, Andrew? More yet in the community. And I'd just love to lead in a prayer. And I would love you to pray with me because you're of great value. God wanted you to be born. You've got a job to do. You say, Brother Graham, I'm 90. I've done it. No, sorry, you're on the way still to shine for Jesus. Let's pray together, shall we? Just right where you are. Are you in the kingdom? Is he the king of your life? If he is, you have no more rights. All your money, all your family, even all your brokenness belongs to him. Maybe it's a bit of toing and froing at the moment. You've kind of grabbed onto stuff again. And you need to let go. Come on. God wants you to have a persuasive lifestyle that speaks, a potent lifestyle that changes culture, and a powerful lifestyle that points people to Jesus. Just right where you are, if you'd like to say this with me, no pressure here, then afterwards we'll have a little time of reflection and I'll hand it over to Andrew. But just, you want to say a prayer, just want to, you know, give God the right to do whatever he wants, he'll do it. He will, you know. Just let him. Here we go. Just right where you are. Lord Jesus Christ, I know you're speaking to me. I want to be a useful servant of God. I come to you right now. Thank you for dying for me. You forgive me of all my sin. I surrender. I want you to be my king. I relinquish my right to be the boss. I enthrone you as my king. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Wash me. Holy Spirit, come and fill me right now, please. Holy Spirit, come and rest on me, please, right now. Thank you. More. Yes, more, Lord. More of you. Less of me. Anoint me to be a bright light in this dark world. To be very potent and very powerful. Thank you. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to have just a few moments just in quiet reflection and just, I'm not sure what God's doing in you, and then Andrew will lead us out into a response. But if you'd like us to pray for you, just come to the communion table. If there's anything we can do, or overhear, I think it is, we'd love to pray for you.
And let's see what God will do. But a little moment of quietness, and then Andrew will finish up. Blessings on you all.
So, Father God, we give you thanks. Thank you, Lord, for these words we've heard today. Lord, you are welcome here in our lives in this church, that we would be all you call us to be. In your name, amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07 46 36 11 44, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.